So this is the Sunday of the Passion of our Lord. 2 weeks till Easter. Next Sunday we have Mass. The 10 o'clock Mass begins with the procession, the palms, the Palm Sunday. And please keep in your prayers those who are sick in the parish, especially Julia Birchler and Andy Falca. Yesterday we had a Mass requiem for Robert Rito. The burial will take place tomorrow down on the South Shore, so I will be there for that. I'll have Mass here tomorrow at 7 o'clock if there are any early risers, and I'll head down South Shore for the burial. In this month of April now, those who are from this parish who passed on to their eternal reward includes Dorothy Bracco, Mary Con Gordon, Joseph McGlone, Walter Morawitzki, Theodore Pryor, Joseph Rito, Evelyn Rito, Leo Retzer. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God. So this week there's another retreat going on for ladies up in Ridgefield, Connecticut. I'll be there all week. On Friday, it's the Seven Sorrows of Mary feast. There are two of them, September 15th, and then the Friday after Passion Sunday. For us in our society, that's been raised to a first-class feast because our nuns are devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows. But there's no Mass here until Saturday morning. I'll be back, God willing, 9 o'clock Saturday morning, Holy Hour of Reparation. In the next three Saturdays or Sundays, those who are preparing for their First Communion need to be quizzed by me on the commandments, the sacraments, the prayers, and then they'll be ready to make their first confession. So First Communions are coming up in a few weeks' time, the first day of May. And the children will, the girls will crown Our Lady for the month of May, but they need to be tested first and then first confessions. So because next week is a much longer Mass, long Gospel and everything, the blessings for articles will take place after this Mass, this week, not next week. It's normally the second Sunday, but it'll be the first Sunday of this month. Seminarian Gabriel Murai has planned a summer apostolate, which will be somewhat expensive to help defray the costs. He's having a fundraiser, the family. After Mass, baskets of chocolate are available. Donations will be accepted. That will help him for his apostolate. Also downstairs are the Novena Mass cards for Easter and also some extra ones for Mother's Day and Father's Day, which are coming up. Mother's Day in 6 weeks. Easter, though, in 2 weeks. So these cards and the Novena of Masses are very powerful. Bought some extra copies there. And next week, the second collection will be for the benefit of the priory in Ridgefield, for the needs of the priory. So, a warning about hatred being fostered by public sources of information, hatred of people based on alleged wrongdoings. Be careful with that. We have to make an assessment of how we should react to different situations. For instance, if you have to work and they're still insisting on injections or swabs, you have to research sufficient to know to what extent you can participate in that or start looking for another job. And again, the affairs of Russia and Ukraine, you have to examine only to the extent that you have to make a decision. Are you being called to fight in the war or to go to Europe on the peace keeping mission of some kind, or actually to fight in a war against enemies? You have to make that assessment. You have to do more research. But whatever it is, don't give way to the hatred that is coming thick and fast everywhere. we have the remedies for all of that in our Catholic faith. There are people trying to undermine it, even within the church. We must expose them and not be caught up in their snares. St. Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, "Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the Holy Gospel from St. John, chapter 8. "At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, 'Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God.' The Jews therefore answered and said to him, 'Do we not say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?' Jesus answered, 'I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you that if any man shall keep my word, he shall not see death forever.' The Jews therefore said, 'Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?' Jesus answered, 'If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad.' The Jews therefore said to him, 'Thou art not yet 50 years old, thou hast seen Abraham.' Jesus said to them, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am.' They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the holy statues are covered. The focus is meant to be on the Passion of our Lord, so uncovered are the Stations of the Cross. These next 2 weeks, here's a little book by Fulton J. Sheen called Characters of the Passion. This is a great little book, very small. He's got his Life of Christ, which is very good. But I'm going to quote from this about Judas. Because we've looked at 5 of the 7 capital sins, and today, with the focus on Judas, and we're going to look at avarice, which is, St. Paul says, is the root of all evil, covetousness. And next week, pride. I'll try to be brief in concluding the 7 capitals next week, because it's a long ceremony, but we'll cover the ultimate root of all evil next week. Today, the proximate root of all evil is covetousness. You sometimes see or hear mistranslations as if the scripture says, money is the root of all evil. No, no, no. Scripture says the love of money, which is covetousness. It's the 10th commandment, and it's devastating its effects. So both these words, covetousness and avarice, are synonymous. Excessive love of money and worldly goods. We have to use worldly goods, and money is a simple medium of exchange. But we mustn't love them. We want more and more and more. And of course, Christianity civilized the world by doing the exact opposite. The monks, the nuns, the monasteries that went up all over Europe saying, we don't want more and more, we want less and less. In fact, we reject everything of this world. And so the monasteries went up, rich people gave to the poor, civilization was built on the despising of riches, because it leads so many astray. Not just rich people, but poor people can be guilty of avarice. Poor people trying to go way beyond their boundaries, desiring things that are impossible for them to obtain. And of course, egged on by the advertising industry and others. In my country, when I turned 18 years of age, my old country, America is my country now, every person in the country was given a bank card with three big prominent 666 on it, or BBB, bank card. Everyone was given, I forget how many thousands of credit, just given to you. So spend up. Every store accepts this bank card. You can spend all the money you don't have. Obviously, this is an occasion of sin for many people. And many people are in unspeakable debt because they don't know how to restrain their avarice. Avarice grows by what it feeds on. The more you foster undue desires in your heart, of course, the ninth commandment is matters of purity, but the tenth commandment, property and possessions. The covetous heart is never content. Judas was the malcontent among the 12 apostles. Listen to what Sheen says about his covetousness. Sheen has a great style in his writings, especially. He says, well, Judas was avaricious. Avarice is a pernicious sin, for when other vices grow cold, avarice is still young. So it can be very tempting for older people, for hoarding things that they really don't need, will never need. Covetousness of Judas revealed itself particularly in Simon's house when an uninvited guest, a sinful woman, converted, repentant, sinful woman, broke in at a dinner party and poured ointment over the feet of our Lord, then wiped it away with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So this was Mary Magdalene using the proceeds of her ill-gotten goods to anoint our Lord with very precious ointments. Judas was at dinner that day. Judas knew how near our Lord's betrayal was. Mary, that woman, knew how near his death was. And putting on the mask of charity, Judas simulated anger that such precious ointment should be wasted. Why was this not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He said this, says St. John in chapter 12, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he held the money bags used to steal the contributions. So skimming off the contributions in the collection basket. Of course, we have procedures here not to prevent that from happening here. But Judas was the first Bernie Madoff, if you remember him, but he was the treasurer of the apostles, and money appeals to some people. Judas was a thief, and ultimately, our Lord, very always patient and kind, he said, leave her alone. There could be no waste in the ministry to divine love. Sheen goes on, there will always be souls like Judas who are scandalized at the wealth offered to Christ in his church. But if a man can give jewels to the woman he loves without scandal, why cannot the soul pour out its abundance to the God it loves in tributes of affection? And so, Very soon after this event, Judas sold the Son of Man for 30 pieces of silver. And the prophet Zechariah, chapter 11, says that's the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. So avarice can lead to terrible many other sins. The avaricious man is hard of heart, especially towards the poor, even to relatives. He rarely or never contributes to worthy causes. Never will you find him helping secretly some poor individual. And in Luke 16, the gospel parable of Dives and Lazarus, Dives is the Latin word for a rich man, no name given, but he wasn't condemned for being rich. He was condemned for hardening his heart to the poor beggar who was in genuine need. So the one went to Abraham's bosom, peace after death. The other went into the torments of hell. The avaricious man is stingy, even towards himself. Sometimes he'll deny himself common comforts. But we read about some recluse or apparent beggar dying, but they have a lot of money. Miserliness, like Scrooge. There was a man who, this is a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's helpful. It's interesting. He died leaving a lot of money, but he insisted that all the money be buried with him in the coffin, in the grave. So the poor widow dutifully collected all his goods and made piles of money, put it all in the coffin with him, and then decided, okay, take out the checkbook. All the value of all that money she wrote out in a check and switched it over. Took the money out of the coffin, put the check in the coffin, so he can be buried with all his wealth. Now that's clever. Because you cannot take it with you. You take with you only the fruits of the good goods that we have and the good deeds that we do. So the avaricious man is very indifferent to doing good works. He doesn't help out with the missions or anything like that. By the way, the story in the gospel of the camel and the eye of the needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than the rich man to go to heaven. The apostles were immediately shocked. Who then can be saved? And Jesus says, well, it's impossible. Just as it's impossible for the camel to go through the eye of a needle, no one can be saved. But especially by rich man, you have to understand the avaricious man. The man attached to his riches. Impossible for him to be converted and do what's necessary to get to heaven. So yes, but the grace of God makes all things possible. And we have now and then some rich people do convert and do good with their resources. The covetous person lacks zeal in many ways. He pays his debts grudgingly, if at all. And I remind you, the Bible has four sins that cry out to heaven, especially for vengeance. One of them, murdering of the innocent, fifth commandment. The other, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, against the sixth commandment. The other, oppressing widows and orphans, which wars do especially. And the other is this sin, the avaricious man who, not paying workers their due wages, so making them slow death, really. So some men who are avaricious refuse to pay their debts or make their debtors wait, causing needless suffering. How do we overcome this vice if we have any tendency towards it? The first thing is to realize that we are travelers on this earth, pilgrims. We cannot take our treasure with us. We are passing through. And sometimes when we get too comfortable here below in this valley of tears, the good Lord reminds us. Plague, famine, war, economic hardship, disease, dramas, death. Remind us we're not here to get comfortable. We're here to get to heaven, where we'll be infinitely comfortable. And so our investments should be in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. We should think more of heaven and less of earth. People who are old will tell you, if their mind is still sharp, that it's over like a flash. A long life is very, very brief, drop in the bucket. And even if you live 100 years, it's over in a flash. Consider the emptiness of mere things, even money, necessary as it is at times, or other things we might like to collect, gather. Whose benefit will it be? When you die and it goes to your whoever inherits, will they appreciate it? May all end up in the junk pile. We should then weigh the evils of avarice, which tightens the heart, blinds the vision, limits his life. We should positively seek what is pleasing to God and helpful to fellow man. Yes, we should certainly be providential and put things away for a rainy day and economize, but we must especially practice the opposite virtue of the vice. The virtue is called liberality or generosity, which prompts our heart to practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, helping to relieve the poor. If you have any fear or suspicion you might be avaricious, prove that you are not by helping some poor person or family. We actually have some poor families or poor struggling people here. That's why we have the Good Samaritan box there, to help them discreetly. Supporting good works, but especially developing a great confidence in God. Great trust in the providence of God. Remember, the Holy Family were very rich when they received from the Magi these gifts, and they were very poor when they had to flee to Egypt and start a whole new life, new business. And they're content, as St. Paul says, whether we abound, set not your hearts to the riches of this world, whether we are struggling with poverty and want, let us trust in God. He is in charge of everything. And he will not let us suffer or be tempted more than we can cope with his help. So let's be aware of these characters of the Passion. Judas was a prominent apostle of our Lord, one of the first 12 Catholic bishops, and he went astray because of this capital vice that ate away in his heart, and he didn't fight it against it. So fight, pray, trust in God, and we will conquer all of these capital sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.